Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Shiur begins 14 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. You will notice the second framed section that appears on the Daf. From this point, we will continue our Shiur. At the end of our previous Shiur, there was a discussion about the Geulas Mitzrayim and the future redemption, the future Geula, and the issue of the future Geula eclipsing the past Geulas Mitzrayim redemption from Egypt. The issue came up of, will we mention the Geulas Mitzrayim in the future? So we saw in the Tanakh source, not that it will be uprooted, but it will be subsidiary. So, in the same context, we also saw a discussion about the name of Yankiv Ovinu and his new name Yisrael, and the issue of whether, as a result of his being called by the new name Yisrael, does that supplant the reference to him as Yankiv? So, the point that was made in the source at the top of this omid was that no, it won't supplant the name Yankiv, but Yankiv will be subsidiary. So in that spirit, we also continue with the names of Avram and certainly Sarah, whose names underwent change. The Gemara begins, Avram hu Avraham. This is a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, and it mentions that Avram, he was also, or became, Avraham. B'tchila na'ase av la'aram, the name Avram, without the hay in it, implies a leader of Aram, of the nation of Aram, the place in which he was born. So he originally was a leader in his nation, or a important individual, and then ulbasof na'ase av l'chol ha'olam kulo. And later, he became, with the adding of the hay, he became the Av Hamon Goyim, the hay representing Hamon, the father of the multitude of nations. That was Avram, who underwent a transition. Sarai, he Sarah, Sarai also underwent a name change. She originally was called Sarai, which is a Loshon Yochid, a language of a princess, if you will, but in a private sense, in an individual singular sense. B'tchila nasis Sarai lumasa. At first, she was a ministress of her nation. Ulbasof nasis Sarai l'chol ha'olam kul, with the hey replacing the yud, she became a type of queen of all people. Tony Bar Kapora, Kol HaKurei LaAvraham Avram, anyone who refers to Avraham with his former name Avram, Oiver Ba'asei, is in violation of a positive command. Shenemar, Voyo Shimcho Avraham. The Pasuk says that your name shall be Avraham, and therefore if anyone refers to him as Avram without the hey, is in violation of this command. Rebbe Lezer Omer Over Balav, one is in violation of a negative command. Shenemar, Velo Yikore Oid Es Shimcho Avram, your name shall no longer be called Avram. The Gemara asks, Elo Me'ato HaKurei L'Sara Sarai Hochinami, will the same negative command apply to someone who refers to Sarah by the name Sarai? The Gemara answers, no. Hosam Kutshabrichu Omar La'Avram Sarai Ishtecha Lo Sikore Es Shema, Lo Tikro Es Shema Sarai Ki Sarah Shema. There, the Almighty the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avram, you shall no longer call her Sarai, but rather you shall call her Sarah, implying that the prohibition is not something that applies to anyone else, but rather it was an instruction to Avram to call her from now on Sarah. Elo me'ato ha'kirei le'yankiv yankiv hachinami. If someone refers to Yankiv by the name other than Yisrael, but rather calls him Yankiv, is he also in violation? The Gemara answers, Shaini hasam. The case of Yankiv is different, even though the Pasuk did mention that he won't be called Yankiv, but it's not, that wasn't really a total prohibition, because you find that the Torah itself refers to him, the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself refers to him as Yankiv, even after his name underwent change. Dichtiv Vayomer Elokim liYisrael b'Maros Halayla, Vayomer Yankiv Yankiv. The Kodesh Baruch Hu addressed Yisrael, who we know is Yankiv, and he called out to him using the former, the original name. Mosif Rav Yosi bar Ovin Vitema Rav Yosi bar Zavida. He, Rav Yosi, raises a question from a pasuk that's called of a much later nature, and it says there, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bocharta BeAvram. Here you see the original name referred to, even though we're at a time much after the prohibition. So apparently, there is no prohibition. Otherwise, how would the Sefer Nehemiah refer to him as in using that original name? The Gemara answers, Omar Lei, Hasam Novihu de Komisadu Lishvachi de Rachmona Mai Dehave Meikora. There, the Novi is mentioning the praise of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and recounting historical events. That originally when you chose him, his name was still Avram, and now you made him Avraham. So it's not a function of referring to him or calling him now as that, but rather a historical account of what was. We now continue with the second perek of Brachos. Hoyokure batura vigia zman hamikra. A person was reading in the Torah. He was reading from a Torah scroll, and he reaches the parsha of Kriyat Shema, and it just so happens to be the time to recite the Kriyat Shema. Im kivein libo yotza. If he has kavona, then he has intent, so he is in fulfillment. Now we can't explain too much at this point. We have to leave room for the Gemara to raise questions and respond. We put a slash over here in the Mishnah, indicating that which follows is a new idea. Baprokim shoyel mitnei hakovod umeshiv. Baprokim is a situation of one between paragraphs, starting with the Birkas Kriyat Shema and continuing through the Kriyat Shema and eventually dealing with the brachas after the Kriyat Shema. You have a situation of someone needs to interrupt, we'll say. And what is allowed and what is not? When is interruption allowed and when is not? So the Mishnah features a machlokes tanoim regarding this issue of being mafsik in Kriyat Shema. So the first point is that if you're between paragraphs, in other words, you said, for example, in the evening, you said, Baruch Ato Hashem Yoitzer HaMa'oros, and you're about to begin Avas Oilom, so you are considered Baprokim, or you finished the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema, and Al Mezuzos Beisecho Visharecho V'hoyo Im Shamoa. So after you, right before V'hoyo Im Shamoa, you are in a situation called Baprokim. What is one allowed to do? So the Mishnah says you can initiate. Shoel has to do with initiating a greeting. That's shoel mipnei hakavod. initiating a greeting because someone who is standing by you happens to be someone that is worthy of respect. He's an important individual, someone of whose nature one should initiate the greeting, and umeshiv, and respond. Ubeemtza, if you're in the middle of a paragraph of the Birchas Kriyashma and Kriyashma, so shoyel mitnei hayira umeshiv, divrei Rabbi Meir. One can initiate a greeting because the person in front of you is fearsome and would be could threaten you with a trouble, we'll say. Rashi uses the idea, mentions Adam shu yori miponav shelo yahargenu. Rashi's example is a fear of actual life-threatening type individual is standing near you. So the Mishnah says that if you're in the middle of a paragraph of Kriya Shema, so you are allowed to initiate a greeting to such an individual. However, it goes without saying that if you're in the middle of a paragraph of Kriya Shema, you cannot initiate a greeting simply out of honoring an individual. Umeshiv means and respond. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Be'emsa shoyel mitnei hayira umeshiv mitnei hakavod. Rabbi Yehuda mentions that in the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate a greeting because of fear. So in this sense, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are in agreement that Be'emsa you can initiate because of yira. But Rabbi Yehuda adds, umeshiv mitnei hakavod. You can respond. In other words, initiating is considered a more significant interruption. So on a less problematic level, on a less significant problematic level, you can respond. You cannot initiate, but you can respond. If someone of honor greeted you, you can offer a response, even though you're in the middle of a paragraph. Let's just note that when we learned Rabbi Meir, he also mentioned umeshiv. But what did Rabbi Meir mean when he said umeshiv? It goes without saying that if you have two opinions in the Mishnah, they cannot be saying the same thing unless otherwise noted. So there is a machlokas. So at this point, though, it's not clear what Rabbi Meir meant when he said umeshiv. Continuing with Rabbi Yehuda, Uba Prokim, when you're between paragraphs, Shoyo Mitnei HaKavod, between paragraphs you can initiate a greeting to someone because he is worthy of honor. And once again, regarding Baprokim and what you're allowed to initiate, there's no machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them said Baprokim Shoyo Mitnei HaKavod. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, Umeshiv Shalom L'choladom. Since you're between paragraphs, which is a less significant type of interruption, you can respond to anybody. Even if a common type individual initiated some greeting to you, you can respond to his greeting between paragraphs. Elu hein bein aprokim. Now here the Mishnah delineates what is meant by between paragraphs. Bein brocha rishon lishnia, as we said before, between Yotzer Hamoiros and the second bracha of Kriyashma, Ben Shnia Lishma, if you say in the morning Habocher Bamo Yisrael Biavo, and then you're about to say Shma, that would be an example. Ben Shma Vohoyim Shemoa, between the first and second paragraphs of the Kriyashma itself, Ben Vohoyim Shemoa Levayomer, between those the second and third paragraphs, Ben Vayomer LeEmes VYatziv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bein Vayom Emes V'Yatziv Lo Yafsik. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on that last point, that when you finish saying the third paragraph of Kriya Shema and you go on to say Emes V'Yatziv V'Nochon, you should not break. Omer Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha, Lomo Kodmo Parshas Shema V'Yim Shemoa. Here the Mishnah deals with the order of the different paragraphs of the Kriya Shema itself. Why do we recite the parsha of Shema before we say V'hoyim Shemoa? Answer: Kedei shikabel olav oil malchus shemayim tchila v'achar kach mekabel olav oil mitzvahs. There's a certain type of logic here that first one has to accept the Almighty as the King of Kings. That what we call the, in here, the yoke of heaven should be upon him. That's Oel Malchus Shemayim. First, he's mekabel upon himself the kingship, the monarchy of the Almighty over himself. And then, once he acknowledges the Almighty God as being his king, then he is accepting upon him the mitzvahs, the king's instructions. So that explains why Shema precedes Vayom Shemoa, because Shema, it represents the acceptance of the Kodesh Baruch Hu as a king, and Vayom Shemoa deals with the acceptance of listening to his mitzvahs. Vayom Shemoa Levayomer, the second paragraph, namely Vayom Shemoa precedes Vayomer, Shevayom Shemoa Noig Beim 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 Balaylo, Vayom Shemoa Tishmu El Mitzvosai deals with all of the mitzvahs, which include daytime mitzvahs and nighttime mitzvahs. Vayomer Eino Noig Elo Vayom Bilvad. Vayomer deals with the parsha, it's known as the parsha of tzitzis, which is it says, Re'isem Oiso, you shall see the tzitzis, which indicates daylight, and hence it's a daytime mitzvah, as opposed to something that's around the clock, which we said is the point of the second paragraph. We now continue with the Gemara. Shamas Mina, the Gemara asks a question. Should we conclude from our Mishnah mitzvos tzrichos kavona, that in order to fulfill a mitzvah, one has to have the intent to fulfill that particular mitzvah? And if we were to conclude that fulfillment of the mitzvahs is dependent on intent as well, in other words, not the mere action, but the action must be accompanied by intent, we will then have a problem or a kasha on Rabbah, who appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, who speaks about someone who is blowing a shofar for the sake of the sounds that it emits. And in a case that someone is, and that's called toikea l'shir, blowing a shofar for the purpose of song, if you will. And what comes out in that shofar blowing happens just to be the Rosh Hashanah notes. But he's blowing it, sounding a tkiya and a trua on Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of enjoying the sound, as opposed to for the purpose of being yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. Rabbah says that that's okay. A person who's tokea the shir is yotze, even though he does not have intent. Our Mishnah, though, said that if one is reading the Torah and the Zman of Kriyat Shema came, if he has intent, then he is in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So our Mishnah seems to insist on intent that accompanies action, whereas Rabbah said intent is non-essential. The Gemara answers no. We are not going to conclude that mitzvah tzrichos kavona. My im kivein libo likrois. What does im kivein libo mean in our Mishnah? If he has intent to read. The Gemara asks, likrois v'ho kokori. He is reading. The Mishnah said, hoyo kore b'torah. So what do you mean when you said he has to have intent to read? The Gemara answers, "Bekoyrei lehagia." The person in our Mishnah is reading the Torah for the purpose of checking it, the Torah scroll, checking it for mistakes. So, as Rashi says, "Bekoyrei lehagia es hasefer im yesh botos dafilu lekriya nami lo miskave." And he doesn't even have reading intentions. His intentions are checking intentions. He's checking. The Tosfos has a question on Rashi's approach, but Emir Tzashem, we will wait for the Tosfos when we get to our Tosfos section following our regular Dafyomi Gemara Shir. So in the meantime, Rashi's Pshat is that he is checking, he's reading through the Torah with the intent of checking for mistakes. And that is considered a lower level form than simply performance of an action without intent. Therefore, as we said before, we're not going to conclude from our Mishnah that mitzvah srichas kavona, but you do have to have an intent for the action of reading. And here he has an intent for a different goal altogether, and that's for checking for mistakes. And hence, the person in our mission, if he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, as long as he, at the point that he gets to the parsha of Kriya Shema, he has intention of reading, that would be sufficient. But even though he doesn't have intent to, that his reading should be with the goal of fulfilling the mitzvah. The Gemara continues with a new topic, and on the outside margin we have, under our Nosei heading, Kriya Shema Kiksova Oy B'chol Lashon. The Kriya Shema mustn't be recited in Hebrew, as it is written, or in any language, or can it be recited in a foreign tongue? Tanu Rabbanan, Kriya Shema Kiksova Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe insists that Kriya Shema must be read in Hebrew. B'chomim Omrim B'chol Lashon. Chomim say that if you have in any other language as well, one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So if someone is an English speaker, he could read the Kriya Shema in English. My time with the Rebbe. The Gemara, as you probably guessed, will go back and forth with the different opinions. Rebbe and the Rabbanan, where do they see a source for their points of view, and what will each one do with the other one's source? So, what is the source for Rebbe that it must be in Hebrew? Omakro, the pasuk says v'hoyu, and v'hoyu means v'havyasan yehu. It says v'hoyu hadvarim ho'ele v'hoyu. It's a pasuk in the Kriya Shema, meaning they shall be as they are, without change. V'rabbonan ma'itamayo, what's their basis of allowing any language? Omakro, Shema. The first pasuk begins with the word Shema. B'chol loshon she'ata shomea. That word Shema means you shall say it in any language that you can understand. So that if you want to translate it into another language, and it's a language that you will understand, so you can translate it into that language. Ula Rebbe nami hoksiv Shema. Rebbe, who is limiting, does it not say Shema, which should be a leniency to allow other languages? The Gemara answers, Hahu, that word Shema, as far as Rebbe is concerned, miboy alei, he needs it for something else. Hashmea leoznecha, mashato moitzi mipicha. For he uses it for audio quality, namely, you shall hear that which you are saying, that you have to hear your recitation of the Shema. Rabbonon, Savri Lahu, the Rabbonon on this particular point of needing to hear, they disagree, and they say, they hold like Keman Domar Lohi Shmiel Ozno Yotza. Like, they hold like the opinion that says that if one didn't hear it while he was reciting it, he nevertheless is in fulfillment. So that Shema is available for the Rabbonon for the teaching of in any language. Ula Rabbonon, the Gemara asks, the Rabbonon who are lenient in allowing other languages, Ula Rabbonon ami hoksi v'hoyu, does it not say v'hoyu? What do they do with that? And the word v'hoyu had implied a limitation. The Gemara answers, Hahumi boy lahu, they need v'hoyu shelo yikra l'mafreya, that one should not read the Kriya Shema backwards. One should not read from the end of a pasuk back to the beginning. That's a reading in a backwards fashion. For Rebbe, Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya Minole, where will Rebbe learn that point from? Because Rebbe used the Hoyu for language restriction. What about order? Nafgale, Rebbe will learn order in terms of non-backwards, midvorim hadvorim. For you, hadvorim, the pasuk says. The hey in that word, hadvorim, is here to convey the idea of reading it in order and not backwards. For Rabbonon dvorim hadvorim lo darshi. The Rabbonon don't see anything significant in the hey as far as this point is concerned, and therefore, the idea of not reading backwards, the Rabbonon learn from v'hoyu. At this point, the Gemara continues with the issue of language after having established the opinions of Rebbe and the Rabbonon regarding the Kriya Shema, what about the rest of the Torah? When we speak about the rest of the Torah, it has to do with sections from the Torah that need to be read. What about them? Can they be read in any language or in Hebrew or only in Hebrew, in the original? So, could one not infer from whatever you hold by Kriya Shema? So the opposite will hold with regard to the rest of the Torah, because the Torah went out of its way to tell us about how to do Kriya Shema. That would imply that the rest of the Torah is something different, other than that. So that if you look at Shitas Rebbe, you said Kriya Shema must be only in Hebrew, that would imply that the rest of the Torah can be done in any language. And when you look at the Rabbanan, who said that the Kriya Shema can be done in any language, and the Torah went out of its way to tell us that, so it must be that the rest of the Torah must be only in Hebrew. And that is what the Gemara will now evaluate. Should we make these assumptions and make these inferences? Lameimra de Sova Rebbe, is this to suggest that Rebbe will hold Dechol HaTorah Kula, the rest of the Torah, Bechol Lashon Nemra, can be said in any language? The Sakadaita B'Lashon HaKadosh Nemra, if you are to think that Rebbe would say that the rest of the Torah must be in Lashon HaKodesh, in the original Hebrew, V'hayu dekosav rachmon olam ali. What do I need the word V'hayu for by Kriya Shema? The Kriya Shema is also a section of the Torah. So if it were so that the rest of the Torah must be, in the entirety of the Torah must be done in Hebrew, so I wouldn't need a special instruction by the Kriya Shema that it must be done in Hebrew. The Gemara answers, in truth, it could very well be that the rest of the Torah must be done in Hebrew, if according to Rebbe. And you'll ask them, what do I need a special instruction by the Kriya Shema, the V'hoyu? Well, the Gemara says, Itzrich, I need a special instruction. Mishum dechsiv Shema. Because of the presence of the word Shema, which we saw the Rabbonon took to mean in any language, so as to forestall that mistake, as far as Rebbe is concerned, because Shema does not mean in any language for Rebbe. So in order to forestall that mistake, you need extra firepower, so to speak, through the word V'hoyu. In other words, even though the rest of the Torah is clearly in Hebrew, according to Rebbe, that when you read passages from the rest of the Torah, it must be done in Hebrew, nevertheless, by Kriya Shema, there was room for error. Therefore, you need to have a special instruction by Kriya Shema, and that's the word V'hoyu. Now, we turn to the Rabbonon. L'meimra desavri Rabbonon dechol HaTorah kula b'loshon HaKodesh Nemra. Should we conclude that the rest of the Torah can be done, or has to be done in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew? De'i salkadaita b'chol Loshon Nemra. If it were so that the rest of the Torah can be done in any language, can be recited, can be read in any language, then Shema dekosav rachmon olam ali, what do I need a special instruction by Shema that it can be done in any language? After all, Shema is a passage from the Torah. And if it were so that the Torah, the rest of the Torah, were in any language, so Shema would follow suit. The Gemara answers, no. It could be that the Rabbanu will tell you that the rest of the Torah can be done, in fact, in any language. And you'll ask them, what do I need a special instruction by Shema? Itzterich, I need the Shema word. Mishum dechsev v'hoyu. Because there is also the word v'hoyu, which could be understood, and we saw Rebbe understood it to mean only in Hebrew, so as to forestall that misunderstanding as far as the Rabbanan would be concerned. So the Torah adds the word Shema. Even though the rest of the Torah is also in Kol Lashon, Shema as well is B'chol Lashon, even though the word V'hoyu appears, which might have been understood differently. The Gemara now goes on to discussing the topic of intent and concentration with regard to the Kriya Shema. when reading the Kriya Shema, so one has to have what's called kavona. He has to have concentration and intent regarding the that which he is reading. How much of the Kriya Shema must be done with kavona? It goes without saying that it's very common for people to read things, passages that we read on a daily basis while one's mind wanders. So we're focusing right now on this issue of reading the Kriya Shema without the with concentration and without the mind wandering. So how much of the Kriya Shema must be read with kavona? The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source, which continues to the top of Omid Beis, Tana Rabbana, V'hoyu, Shelo Yikrila Mafreya. The word V'hoyu teaches us not to read backwards. Hadvorim Al Levovecha. The Hadvorim Al Levovecha. The Pasuk says, V'hoyu Hadvorim Ha'ila Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levovecha. So it's the Brisa explains Yochote Kol Parsha Tzricho Kavona. Could it be that the entire paragraph needs to be read with intent? Talmud Lomar Hoele. Pasuk says Vayu Hadvorim Hoele. Ad Kan Tzricho Kavona. Mikan ve'elich ein tzricho kavona. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The word ho'ele is a limitation expression, and it means up till here. Ad kan. And Rashi explains ad kan ad al levovecha, until those words. Tosfos says until bechol meodecha. He has a different approach, a different approach to this. And says that the first two psukim, according to Tosfos, the Shema and V'yohavta, must be done with kavona. Omar le Rabbi Akiva, Varei hu oimer, Asher anochi mitzavecho hayom al levovecha. Mikan ata lomei shekol haparsha kula tzricho kavona. Rabbi Akiva, and we are now at the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom Al Levavecha Mikan Ata Lomed Shekol Parsha Kula Tzricha Kavona," and that's the end of the Tanaic source. From this, you see that you need to have the entire first paragraph with intent. Omar Rabo Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. So he rules like Rabbi Akiva, which is a more strict approach to the amount that needs to be read with kavona. As you can see, we have a Roman numeral number 2, ika, indicating a second version of things. Ika demasni loaha desanya. There are those that take Rabo Barbachana and apply it to the following. We have a Tanaic source, hakurei es shmatzor shiachavein es liboy. One who reads the Shema, he must have intent. Rav Acha Mishum Rav Yehuda Omer Kivan Shekivan Kivan Libo Beperek Rishon Shuv Eino Tzorech. As long as he had intent for the first paragraph, he doesn't need any more. It doesn't have to be, or the insistence on intent is no longer binding. Omar Rabo Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Krav Acha Shomar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. What is noteworthy is that according to both Lashonos of the Gemara, you see Rabo is paskening the opinion that says you need to have the first paragraph with intent. Tanya Idoch. V'hoyu, shelo yikra l'mafreya. And we've seen this before, that the word v'hoyu teaches us not to read it out of order, not to read the Kriya Shema backwards. Al levovecha. Rav Zutra Omar, ad kan mitzvas kavona. The first paragraph is to be with kavona, and it sounds like kavona, intent, without reading. That's the hava mina. Ad kan mitzvahs kavona, mikan ve'elech mitzvahs kriya. The parsha voyim shamoa, that must be done with reading. So, as we said at this point, but this will be changed in the Gemara, Rav Zutra is telling us that the first paragraph must be done with kavana, but not necessarily reading it. And from Vahoyim Shema onwards, one must read. Rav Yoshe Omar, Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya. Now he says what would appear to be just the opposite. He says the first paragraph is reading, with reading, Mikan Ve'elech Mitzvahs Kavana. The second paragraph, Vahoyim Shema onwards, is with intent. This Braisa is very unclear, and the Gemara will restate these opinions in the next lines, up down through the balance of the narrow lines of the Gemara. Focusing on Rav Zutra, Maishna mikan ve'elech mitzvahs kriya, why does he say that Vahoyim Shema must be done with reading? Tichtiv ledaber bom. That has to do with speech. We'll take it to mean reading, and that's what it says in the second paragraph. Well, hochanami, by the same token, hoksiv, in the first paragraph it says vidibarto bom, and you shall speak in them, indicating speech or reading. So that if you're going to say that the second paragraph requires reading, the first paragraph should also. Therefore, hochi ko'omar. And you'll see, we see that we have this diamond use. This is the attempt to re-explain the Tanaic source. First, we deal with the Reisha, Rav Zutra, and later, we'll see again a diamond appearing when we will be dealing with Rav Yoshia. So, hochi ko'omar. Thusly, we're to understand Rav Zutra. Ad kan mitzvahs kavona ukriya. The first paragraph must have both kavona and kriya. Mikan v'elech kriya beloy kavona. The second paragraph onwards, it's sufficient if it's read even without intent. Question: Umayshno ad kan mitzvahs kavona ukriya. Why in the first paragraph are you saying both requirements are present? Dichtiv al levavecha v'dibartavam. Now, you'll notice with our markings, we dashed underline al levavecha because that's we'll call it the nuance or the new point that we want to emphasize. We already spoke about the obvious fact that there must be reading. What about the kavana? So, in the first paragraph, you're saying that there is kavon as well because of al levavecha. Well, hosom nami in the second paragraph, which you said before was only a function of reading. What about kavona? Doesn't it say hona hosom nami in the second paragraph? It says hoksiv al levavchem ledaber bom. And again, we dashed underline al levavchem because we want to focus on this aspect, which has to do literally on your heart, but it has to do with something of an internal or intention nature. So the second paragraph should also have a kavona requirement in addition to reading. The Gemara answers no. Hahu, the al levavchem of the second paragraph, miboy aleil for Yitzchok. I need it for Yitzchok's teaching. The Omar, it says in the second paragraph of Kriyashma v'samtem es devorai ele al levavchem. And this is a mitzvah regarding the placing and positioning of the tefillin shel yad. Tzricha shete simo keneged alev. Simo is the placing. The placing of the tefillin shel yad, of the arm tefillin, must be located on the upper part of the arm, what we call the bicep, which is opposite the heart. So that al levavchem, literally, on your heart, is not a reference to intention, but a reference to placement of the tefillin shel yad. Omar Mar, we now turn to the second opinion in that Tanaic source, Rav Yoshia, and by the way, in order to find where this is a quote from, we've also provided a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up, you'll see the parallel star and where this quote is from. So Rav Yoshia Omar Ma, Rav Yoshia Omer, Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya, the first paragraph requires reading, Mikan Velech Mitzvahs Kavona. The second paragraph does not require reading, but requires intent. implying that the first paragraph is reading without intent, and the second paragraph is intent without reading. Well, my shno mikan ve'erich mitzvos kavona, what is different about Voyim Shemo where there is a necessity of intent? Mishum dechtiv al levavchem. Well, he takes al levavchem to, yes, refer to intent. Hocha nami, so to the first paragraph, hoksiv al levavecha, all says on your heart, meaning with intent. So the first paragraph should have an intent requirement. In other words, in addition to mitzvah's kriya, which you already said it has, it should also have intent. Hochi komar. In fact, we reread Rav Yoshia thusly. Ad kan, the first paragraph, mitzvah's kriya ukavona. And by the way, this is the same, if you refer back to the first diamond, that's what Rav Zutra said as well in the restatement, that both elements must be present. You have to have mitzvahs kriya with kavona. Mikan ve'elech, v'hoya im shema onwards, kavona below kriya. Intent, maybe this entails looking at the words, but no actual reading. Umay shno, the Gemara asks, what's different ad kan about the first paragraph, mitzvahs kriya ve'kavona? You were saying that the first paragraph has a mitzvah of kriya as well as kavana. Now you notice we dashed the line kriya because we're focusing right now on this with regard to the second paragraph as well. So what is different about the first paragraph that there's a mitzvah kriya as well as kavana dechtiv al levavecha v'dibartabom? So the first paragraph has an expression v'dibartabom indicating speech and reading. Hasam nami, so too with regard to the second paragraph, hoksiv al levavchem and ledaber bom, and we dash on the ledaber bom. So, and the reason for dashing on this is because we're right now asking about the seeming lack of reading requirement for the second paragraph, but it says ledaber bom in the second paragraph of Shema. The Gemara answers, Hahu bedivrei Torah ksiv ochikom rachmona. The ledaber bom is not a reference to Kriya Shema, but it's a reference to Torah learning, and thusly is the Torah intends for us. Agmiru b'naychu Torah. There's an instruction here. Teach your sons, your children, Torah. Ki hechi deligrisu behu, so that they shall learn it and talk in it, speak in Torah learning. So that lidaber bom is not an instruction regarding how you personally are to read the Kriya Shema, but it's an instruction to us, to people, to instruct their children in Torah learning so that they should converse in Torah learning. So what comes out then, if you wanted to focus on the machlokas between Rav Zutra and Rav Yoshia, you would take these two diamonds that we see in the Gemara and focus on the framed section that follows. And if you notice the mikan ve'elech of the first diamond was mikan ve'elech is kriya below kavona, and here the mikan ve'elech is emphasizing kavona below kriya. That would be the point of difference. Tono Rabbonan. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. Ad kan tzricho kavona salev, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the first posuk is that which requires intent and concentration. Amar Rava, halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Rava rules like Rabbi Meir that the first posuk is that which needs intent. Tanya, Sunchus Omer, Kalamarach Bechod, Marachin Lo, Yomov, Ushnosov. Sunchus tells us that anyone who elongates the Echod, the word Be'echod, he will merit a long life. Omar Rav Acho, Bar Yankov, Ubedalid. The word Echod, the last letter of that word, is a Dalid. And that is, when we speak about elongating, it refers to the pronunciation of the Dalid in an elongated fashion. The emphasis is on the Dalet is on the Dalet and not on the letter Ches. Rashi explains with the Dalet, V'lo b'ches, d'chol kamad omar, echo, with the just Aleph Ches, Below Dalid, lo mishtama midi. It has no meaning. Uma betza bar chosu. What gain do you have in elongating something that has no meaning? Afal bet Dalid, but in the elongation of the Dalid, yarich ad kishush yasenu belibo yochid b'shemay v'oretz u'bar b'ruch yisrael u'forsh l'kamon. Enough time should be spent on the elongation of the Dalid in pronunciation so as to acknowledge the Almighty as being king over the entire world in all directions. Omar, the more continues, Omar of Ashi, uvashlo yachtoif b'ches. As though we're emphasizing elongating the Dalit, it doesn't mean that you should read the pronounce the ches in too hastily a fashion, so as it shouldn't appear that you're cutting off the ches. Rav Yirmiyo havi Yosef kamei de Rav Chiyo bar Abba. Rav Yirmiyo was seated in the presence of Rav Chiyo. Chazei dave marich tuvo. He saw that he was elongating the echod a long time. Amalei, so he said, kevan dem lichte malomato baruchus shemayim. Since you've anointed or crowned the Almighty as king above and below and in all four directions, su lo tzrichas. You don't have to elongate anymore. In other words, when pronouncing the word echad with the dalet being elongated, you're thinking at that time of the Kodesh Baruch Hu being king of the entire universe, up, down, and in all four directions. Once you achieve that mindset, that's it. You don't have to spend more time in pronouncing the dalet. Omar of Noson bar Mar Ukfo Omar of Yehuda. Al Levovecho Be'amida. Well, translated would mean that when you say the words Al Levovecho, you must be standing. The Gemara asks, Al Levovecho Salkadaitoch? That when you say those words, you should stand up? Is that what it means? Elo Emo Ad Al Levovecho Be'amida. Until you reach Al Levovecho, starting from the beginning, Shema Yisrael, until you finish that pasuk ending with al levavecha, so that must be done while standing. Mikan ve'elech lo. Beyond that, you can be in movement as well. In other words, if you're walking along on the road, and we even saw Shitas Beis Hillel that one can say Kriya Shema in any position, including while in motion. But with regard to the very beginning of the Kriya Shema, from Shema until al levavecha, that even that you should say while motionless. Rabbi Yochanan Omar kol apar shekulo b'amida. Rabbi Yochanan is more restrictive and says the whole paragraph must be while standing, and in other words, non-movement. But as the Rabbi Yochanan tamei, Rabbi Yochanan is considered consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Domar Rabbi Berchanan Rabbi Yochanan haloch k'rav acho sheomar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. You notice we have a little arrow here. You can align this with what you saw in the upper part of the page, where Rabbi Yochanan, he appeared to get, being quoted by Rabbi Rachana, in saying that the halacha follows Rav Acha in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw in a Tanaic source, and his name is underlined. You can see five lines from the top, who said that intent is needed for the whole first paragraph. So since there's intent needed for the whole first paragraph, that cannot be achieved if one is in a state of movement. Therefore, for that, in order to achieve kavona, one must be in a motionless state during the recitation of the entire first paragraph. Tono Rabbonan, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zu Kriya Shema She Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. This was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said in order to fulfill his mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Omelei Rav, Rav Chia, Rav said to Rav Chia, Lo chazino lei l'Rebbe de mekabel lei malchus shamayim. I don't see Rebbe, and as I was sitting in his shir from early morning, from before the zman of Kriya Shema till late in the morning, and I don't see Rebbe accepting upon himself the yoke of heaven. In other words, I don't see him fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Omar lei. So Rav Chia says back to Rav, Bar Pachti. It's an expression of wise man.
it's a complimentary expression, and he says, "Bishol shemavir yodav al ponov," when you see Rebbe passing his hand over his face, in other words, over his face, over his eyes, "mekabel of ol malchus shemayim." At that moment, he is being mekabel ol malchus shemayim. He is fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which involves accepting upon oneself the Almighty as the King. Now the Gemara asks, Chozer v'gomra o eino chozer v'gomra? Did Rebbe go ahead and finish the entire body of the Kriya Shema, all of the paragraphs, because all we know is that he said the first pasuk? Does he go and finish the rest after the students departed or not? Bar Kapora Omer Eino Chozer V'Gomra. He doesn't finish it off. Reb Shimon Barevi Omer Chozer V'Gomra. He does finish it off. Omer Le Bar Kapora Reb Shimon Barevi. So Bar Kapora addresses Reb Shimon, who is the son of Rebbe, who argued with him. Bishmal Didi, things are well according to me. Damina Eino Chozer V'Gomra. Rebbe never finished the rest off. And when we say he didn't finish the rest off, that means he would not have recited the parsha of Vayomer either, the third paragraph, in which there is mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. So if Rebbe didn't say that, so Hainu de Mahader Rebbe Ashmaitzo de Isbo Yitzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, it's understood why Rebbe, in every morning shiur, in every morning lecture, he would seek or make mention of a topic that had some type of a relationship or recounting of the exodus from Mitzrayim, so that in effect, though he didn't finish off the rest of the Kriya Shema, what about the mitzvah of recounting Yetzias Mitzrayim? So he did that by presenting a halacha in the course of his lecture dealing with Yetzias Mitzrayim or mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. But according to you, Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, who says that Rebbe would finish off the rest of the Kriya Shema later on anyway, Loma Le Ladure, why does he have to seek out a mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim in his shir all the time, on a daily basis? As far as the need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, he would do that later on. Answer, the reason he wanted to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in the course of his shiur was Kedei Lahazkir Yetzias Mitzrayim Bizmano. He wanted to make mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim during the Zman of Kriya Shema. Apparently, it's true, Rebbe said the balance of the Kriya Shema later on, but that wasn't during the time of Kriya Shema. That was later in the morning, or later in the day. This, by the way, poses an interesting point in and of itself. And that is why would Rebbe bother saying the balance of the Kriya Shema at a time that wasn't the Zman of Kriya Shema anyway? But that's apparently what he did. And that we can see from here by the fact that his mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was Bizman Kriya Shema, but his recitation of the balance, or the entire Kriya Shema, was done after Zman Kriya Shema, and yet he did it. Omar Rav Ila Brei Derav Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. Omar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'Ne'enas B'Shina. If a person recited the first pasuk of Kriya Shema and then he was overtaken by fatigue and fell asleep, Yotza, he has fulfilled his mitzvah. Omar Lei Rav Nachman L'Doro Avdei. Rav Nachman turned to his servant Doro was his name, and said to him as follows, "Bepsuka kama tsa'aron." If you see that I'm dozing off, so make sure, tsa'aron literally is inflict upon me pain, but it means for our purposes, strain yourself to make sure that I stay awake for the first pasuk. Tvei lo tetzaron. But beyond that, if after reciting the first pasuk you see I continue to doze off, leave me be. Omale Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef Brei de Rabo. So Rav Yosef says to the son of Rabo, Avuch hechi have ovid. What was your father's practice? Omale, so the son of Rabo then says, the psuka kamahava kol mitzar nafshei, with regard to the first pasuk, he would strain himself. Once again, if he was dozing off, he would strain himself to make sure he would say that first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Tfei lo v'mitzar nafshei, but beyond that, he didn't strain himself. Omar Rav Yosef, Prakton lo yikru kriya shema. Prakton is a situation or a position that someone assumes when he lies on his back. So if a person is lying on his back, he should not recite kriya shema in that position. Gemara asks, Prakton, mikro hu delo likri ha migna shapir domi, is the only objection to the recitation of kriya shema in that position, but sleeping on one's back would be okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, laida mandigoni aparkid. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse people who sleep while lying on their backs. Amri, the Gemara answers, migna ki matzli shapir domi. As far as sleeping is concerned, matzli here means tilted to one side. When it's sleeping on one side, that would be okay. Mikra, however, the reading of Kriya Shema, afagav de mitzli nami osir, even lying on one side would not be acceptable. So that there is, nevertheless, even though we know that regarding Kriya Shema and sleeping, both are not to be done while lying on one's back, nevertheless, we emphasize Kriya Shema to include not only the case of lying on one's back in a prakton fashion is unacceptable, but even reciting it while lying on one's side is unacceptable. And Rashi explains because it's a haughty position. It's considered derech sora and gaiva. It's a position of someone who's, we'll say, maybe too complacent, if you will, when he is engaged in accepting upon himself the rule of the Almighty. One is to be in a position where it's where it reflects such a mindset of accepting the rule of someone else, whereas someone who's lying on his side, it doesn't seem that that's what his intention is, and therefore one should not be lying on one side either while saying the Kriya Shema. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Rabbi Yochanan matzli v'kore," but the great Rabbi Yochanan would be positioned on his side and recite the Kriya Shema that way. The Gemara says, "Shiny Rabbi Yochanan." Rabbi Yochanan is an exception. The Baal Bosor Havi. He was an exceptionally obese individual, and hence it was with extreme difficulty for him to seat himself up for the recitation of Kriya Shema. Therefore, his lying on one side was not a reflection of an issue of haughtiness, but rather simply because of lack of other possibility. Ubeprokim shoyo. This is a quote from the Mishnah, where we saw Rebbe Meir saying that between paragraphs one may initiate a greeting to someone that is of an honorable nature, and he said umeshiv, and respond. Meshiv machmas mai, the response referred to in Rabbi Meir's words, responding under what circumstances? E lemo mitnei kavod, if it's licensed to respond out of honor, well, that would be redundant. I wouldn't need to tell you that. Hashta mishal shoyo aduri mibaya. We tell you that you can initiate an interruption because of kavod considerations, because you're dealing with someone that needs to, it's worthy of showing honor. So, all the more so, it's more obvious that you can respond. Responding is considered less of an interruption. You didn't initiate the interruption. You're simply responding. So, that goes without saying that if you're allowed to initiate an interruption because of the need to show honor, certainly, if someone of honor made a greeting to you, you can respond. Ella, what is then Rabbi Meir's intention here regarding Baprokim between paragraphs? Hello, Shoyal Mipnei HaKavod Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. So it must be that Rabbi Meir is saying that between paragraphs, you can initiate a greeting of honor, or out of honor, and respond. Oh, you can respond to anybody. Amo Seifa. Well, let's continue with the Seifa of Rebbe Meir. Uveemtza, shoyel mitnei hayira umeshiv. Between, or let's say in the middle of a paragraph, you can initiate an interruption because of fear of the individual, and you may respond. Meshiv machmasmai. What is the response? Under what circumstances is this intra-paragraph interruption? This meshiv within the paragraph. E lemo mitnei hayira. If it's because of fear. Well, Hashta Mishal Shoyel, you can initiate a fear-related greeting, Haduri Mibaya, to respond to someone who is fearsome. Do I need to be told? That's obvious you would be allowed to do that. Mind you, if you're allowed to initiate an interruption, certainly to respond to someone which is considered less of a problem, that certainly you would be allowed to do. Elo? Mipnei hakavod. So what does meshiv mean? Meshiv would mean that if you're in the middle of a paragraph and some honorable person greeted you, you can respond to him because he's an honorable individual. So what's the result? The result here would be, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, you could be shoyel mipnei hayira umeshiv mipnei hakavod. Well, if that be the case, now we've set up now the Rebbe Meir, both points of Rebbe Meir, Baprokim and Beemtza. Well, if you say this explanation for Rebbe Meir, what comes out? Hainu de Rebbe Yehuda. Then everything we've said till now makes Rebbe Meir come out just like Rebbe Yehuda. This not Rebbe Yehuda Omer Beemtza, and note the similarity. In order to accomplish this ability, like to compare easily in the words, we have these markings. Compare these trapezoid forms that you find around the words Beprokim and Beemtza. Here, Rebuta presents things in a reverse order, where he speaks first about Beemtza, and then later he speaks about Baprokim. So, looking at Rebbe Yehuda's version of things, what does Rebuta say? Beemtza, shoyel mitnei hayira umeshiv mitnei hakavod. That's exactly how we set up Rebbe Meir a moment ago. And Ubaprokin, here you go back to the opening of Rebbe Meir and you compare. Here, what does Rebuta say about Baprokin in between paragraphs? Shoyel mitnei hakavod umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. Well, how did we set up Rebbe Meir on that issue? He said the same thing. Shoyel mitnei hakavod umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. So the Gemara says, we know they can't be the same. So we have to go back and re-explain things. Chisurei mechasra v'hochi kotoni. When reading Rebbe Meir, we were reading a Mishnah that was abbreviated. That's chisurei mechasra, and the abbreviation has to have ideas filled in, through which we'll then see the difference between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. And we read as follows. And what we do in our markings is when there's a rereading of the Mishnah, we treat it as if it were the Mishnah itself, and we use a frame. Baprokin, shoyel mitnei hakavod. Between paragraphs, you can initiate a greeting because someone is of honor. The ein tzorech lomar shumeshiv, and it goes without saying that you can answer mipnei hakavod. So that's what umeshiv means. The word umeshiv that appeared in the Mishnah is here to express the idea of, and it goes without saying that you can answer mitnei hakavod, but not answer just anybody, but has to be answering because the person who had greeted you was a person of kavod, of honor. U beemtza, within a paragraph, shoyel mitnei hayira, v'ein tzorech lomar shumeshiv, but once again, it goes without saying that you can answer, but it has to be mitnei hayira, because the one who greeted you was a fearsome individual. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, and Rebbe Yehuda is more lenient, like knocks you down one notch. He says, be'emtza, shoyel mitnei hayira. On this point, there's no disagreement about
the initiation. You can initiate if you're in the middle of a paragraph only because of fear. However, umeshiv mitnei hakovod, you can answer, even though you're in the middle of a paragraph, if someone of honor greeted you, you can answer him. And it's at this point that you see the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. What does he allow you to be meshiv when you're be'emtza haperek? And we continue, ubeprokin, shoyel mitnei hakovod, umeshiv shalom lechaodom. Between paragraphs, you can initiate a greeting if someone is standing by who is of honor. And as far as response, and here too you see a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says you can answer, you can respond to a person, to a greeting that was made by anybody. That's the whole of them. Whereas Rabbi Meir would not allow a response between paragraphs to just anybody. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We are continuing here on the top of Daf Yud Dalid Omen Aleph. We're at the second line. The Gemara here says we have a Tanaic source that supports our reconstruction of the Mishnah. And the Braisa spells this out. Hakori Shema Upoga Boi Raboi Godol Himenu. One who is reading the Shema and someone who is either his teacher or someone who is greater than he meets up with him. Baprokim. Between paragraphs, shom et ne'al kovet ve'ein tzorach lo marshu meshiv. And here you can see how the Braisa fills in those words that we said were chesuri mechasra from our Mishnah. And that is, and it goes without saying, that you can respond mit ne'al kovet ube'amtza if you're in the middle of a paragraph, shom et ne'al yiro ve'ein tzorach lo marshu meshiv. And it goes without saying that you can answer if it's because you're dealing with a fearsome individual. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Be'emtza shoyel mitnei hayira umeshiv mitnei hakovod ubaprokim shoyel mitnei hakovod umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. And as you can see, this text of the Braisa is just like the way we reconstructed the Mishnah in the previous framed section. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. So now, for our Tosfos section, we turn back to Daf Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel Omen Aleph, and we look at the Tosfos at the top of the page. Hoya Korei im Kivein Libo Yotza. Our Mishnah that opened up the second perek said that, described someone who was reading in the Torah, if he had intent, so then he will be in fulfillment. B'Yushalmi Aminon. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it says, "Zoyser meres brachos einon me'akvos de'afalpi shelo omar shtayim lefoneo u'shtayim lachreho yotza." From this Mishnah, you see that the reciting of the Birchas Kriya Shema, the two before and the two after, are not binding upon one's ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The imlo kein, because if you were to say that the brachos are me'akvos, Tikshi, my mahani im kivein libo, you would then ask, what benefit is there to one who does have intent? Hare lo birech tchila. We're talking about someone who's reading a Torah scroll. He's in the middle of reading the Torah. He didn't say the brachos beforehand. He's in the middle of reading the Torah. He comes up to the portion where the Shema is mentioned in Sefer Dvorim, and he reads the Shema. There was no recitation of the brachos. And yet we see that if he has intent, he fulfills his Kriya Shema requirement even without having recited the brachos. V'im toimar, you might ask, ho beperek kamo maskinon, in the first perek of our Masechta, Daf Yud Beis, we concluded, Seder brachos ein ma'akvos, the order of the brachos is not binding, ho brachos ma'akvos, but the brachos themselves are binding upon the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The yesh lomar, the hosam airi betzibur. That conclusion, or that inferred conclusion regarding that which was taught in the first parak, where brachos are makif, that is when you're dealing with the public, a public fulfillment of Kriya Shema. Daikonami, and by careful reading of that which we learned in the first parak, proves this. Dikotoni, there it was it was a Mishnah from Maseches Tomid, where the
Kohanim were the focus of the discussion, and it said there, Omar Lohem Hamemuna, the appointed one said to them. So that you see that that source was dealing with a public, it was a group, it was the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a tzibor. There, we would insist upon the recitation of the brachos along with the Kriya Shema, because it's tzibor, but a private individual, he could be Yotze Kriya Shema, even without the recitation of the brachas. Uve'emtza, Shoel, Mipnei, V'chulei. This section of the Mishnah was dealing with the issue of interruption during the recitation of Kriya Shema for the purpose of greeting people. Uposak Rabbeinu Shmaya, the Bemokim Sha'osir Lesaper, Osir Ledaber, Afilu Beloshan HaKodesh. That in those parts that it's also to speak, even speech in Hebrew would be forbidden. And it's also would be understood that way from the Mishnah. So that one shouldn't think that there's some that we might make some exception for some for speech done b'loshon hakodesh. Uv Yushalmi komar afilu be'emtza ha'posuk. The Yushalmi says that the issue of emtza, that you're allowed to interrupt, means even in the middle of a posuk, not just in the middle of the paragraph, but between psukim, but even in the middle of a posuk. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yosef Omar v'dibarto bom. Those words come from the Kriya Shema. Mikan, from this we learn, shiyesh l'cho rishus l'daber bom. Literally, to speak in the midst of them, meaning in the midst of reciting the Kriya Shema, you can speak something else. So that this would be a source for allowing an interruption, even in the middle of the pasuk. And of course, given the requirement that the person is, let's say, a fearsome individual. V'hainu nami diamrina perakama diyuma, and likewise in the first parak of Maseches Yuma it says v'dibarta bom, that you can speak in them below betfila. Pirush she'ein meshivin ba mipnei akovin. When it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, there is no allowance to answer, to offer a response out of honor. But in the case of Kriya Shema, since it says v'dibar tovam, one would be allowed to interrupt for the purpose of responding mipnei hakovid. Bekorei lehagia. We were involved in understanding the Mishnah through the Gemara. The Gemara had asked, what does it mean in kivein libo? And we didn't want to conclude that you have to have kavona for mitzvos, so as not to raise a question on Shitas Rabbah. So the Gemara explained, this person had been reading for lahagia, for checking for mistakes, and if he has intention for reading, not for mitzvah fulfillment, but rather intention for reading, then he will be in fulfillment of Kriya Shema. Pirush Bekonshus, Tosis quoting Rashi, says, She'ein miskaven likrois. Kori lagia is someone who did not have intent for reading. But Temo akati kokori. But still he is reading. We said he's kore lahagia. He's reading for the purpose of checking for mistakes. So how can you explain that he had not had kavona for reading when he was reading? Al kein nire. Bekori lagia, what does that mean? She'en o kore hatevois kihilchosan uchenekudosan. Person who is reading when he's checking for mistakes, he's not reading the words as are vowelized and as are required to be read. Ela, so how is he reading? Kiksivosan kori. He is reading them as the letters appear in a phonetic fashion, we can say. And why would one read in a phonetic fashion? Kedei lahovin b'chaseros u'b'yaseros. There are many situations in the Torah where letters
that would serve as vowels are actually left out. Those are chaseros, missing letters, and some situations where there are extra letters, though they are extra letters, they are really not pronounced. So, but in the writing of the Torah, if something is to be absent, in other words, a vowel or a letter is absent, even though it is to be read, when you read it for checking for mistakes, you would read it making sure it's absent. And the only way to accomplish that would be by reading it in a phonetic way. And likewise, with regard to yeseros, there may be a situation where there is an extra letter that must be written but not pronounced. But to make sure that it's there in a written form, you would have to read it phonetically, even though that's for checking for mistakes. Even though when you're reading it from the Torah as a part of a Torah portion, for example, you would not pronounce it. Kamo, and now he gives us examples of words that the phonetic reading would be different than the way you would read it when you're fulfilling the mitzvah. However, in order for the Torah to be written properly, it has to be read in this way, in this phonetic fashion. Kamo, le tatfas umezuzas. In other words, when you write the Torah, it has to be written like this. However, when you read it in a siddur, for example, you read it from the Torah scroll, the reading must sound leto tofos. But you'll notice the vav, which serves as a letter and a vowel at the same time, is not present. So that in pronouncing these words, you would have to read leto tofos, as if a vav was there. But when you're checking it for mistakes in terms of the writing, it would be more accurate to read it as letatfas and mezuzas as opposed to umezuzos, which is the way we would ordinarily read it. The imkivein libo, that expression imkivein libo, which literally would mean some type of mental intention, lav dafka, doesn't mean that over here, elo kloimar, but it rather means to say likrois kedin kenekudoson u kehilchoson, which practically speaking means that if you're dealing with someone who had been checking a Torah scroll for mistakes and he was reading in a phonetic way, if when he gets to the parsha of Kriyashma, in other words, he's checking Sefer Dvarim and he gets to the portion of Eschanan where the parsha of Shema Yisrael appears, if at that point he switches mode and there reads it with the vowelization and the proper way of reading, then he would be yotzei. That's what imkivein libo means. Would mean for, as we said, if at that point he changed mode, he would be in fulfillment. V'chachomim b'chol loshayin. We saw machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan about the recitation of Kriyat Shema in other languages. Oimer ri da'alocha kechachomim. The halacha will follow the chachomim and not Rebbe because of a rule. Da'alocha kerebi mechaveroi. We follow Rebbe in an argument that he may have with another colleague. However, not when he is opposed by a majority. That's what this rule means. Halacha kerebi mechavero, over his friend, over his colleague, but not over colleagues in the plural. V'oid derabonon svira lehu. Furthermore, the rabbonon hold kemad yomar loy hishmia leozno yotza. That one who says the Kriyat Shema without hearing it is in fulfillment. V'kavosei paskinon lekamon, and like that opinion, we rule. Now, that being said, that you don't need to hear, the idea of needing to hear or not surrounded how you darshan the word Shema. Now, Rebbe had darshan the word Shema, meaning you must hear. But we paskin, we rule like the Mandomar that you don't need to hear. Therefore, the use of the word Shema in a psak fashion is not here for the purpose of teaching me that you must hear, because we paskin, you don't need to hear. So what am I going to do with the word Shema? So therefore, I will use that for b'chol loshayin she'ata shomea, just like the Chachomim said. And that's what Tosus is pointing out. We're ruling that way. The Loshon HaKodesh Nemra, there's another girsa here that says B'chol Loshon, regarding the rest of the Torah. So,
how are we to conclude regarding the rest of the Torah? Now, when we speak about the rest of the Torah, what do we mean? Pirush Rashi, Perek Shem de Megillah, Likrois b'Torah. That means for reading the Torah portion, the weekly Torah portion, is what is intended here by the idea of the rest of the Torah. Veloi Nehira. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem that that's the intention. Not like Rashi. In other words, Tosfos doesn't like the Rashi's pshat when in expressing what does it mean the rest of the Torah. Now, bear in mind that we're right now darshaning Torah words. We're darshaning the words Shema, the word Vehoyu. What do they refer to? So Tosfos says it doesn't seem like Rashi's pshat to how Ezra tikein kriyas haTorah. Ezra, who lived many years after the giving of the Torah, lived at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period, he established the reading of the Torah. Umekami de'osa Ezra, before Ezra came along, v'hoyu lama li, what would I have done with the word v'hoyu? If I'm taking v'hoyu to mean that it shall be as it is, and that meaning in Hebrew, and as Rashi says that that's a reference to the Kriya Shema being need to be read in Hebrew in addition to the rest of the Torah, let us say, to be read in Hebrew, that would all be fine and good after Ezra, but before Ezra came, when there was no issue of reading the rest of the Torah, so what would V'hoyu accomplish for me? Therefore, V'yesh loimar, Tosfos comes up with his own pshat of what is meant by the rest of the Torah. Demairi, that this Gemara is speaking b'parshios hamechuyovim likros d'oraisa, other Torah sections that on a Torah level need to be read, kamo parshas Zohar, like the parsha Zohar, which we customarily read before Purim, that is something that is Torah-based, the parsha recounting Milchemes Amalek. Inami, another possibility, would be Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Meiser, Uparshas Chalitza, three other examples of sections from the Torah that must be read on their respective occasions, regarding the bringing of the Bikurim, or at the end of the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, and it's year four and year seven, we do Vidui Meiser, and Parshas Chalitza, when a woman is not going to marry her husband's surviving brother, and she opts to do Chalitza for Yibum, a Torah section is read. Shemitzvah b'Torah likroson. Those are Torah-ordained readings. So that the Machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, is what is intended by our Gemara when it speaks about the rest of the Torah as opposed to Kriyashma. So according to Rashi, the rest of the Torah meant the rest of the Torah, literally, the weekly Torah reading. And as far as Tosfos is concerned, the rest of the Torah meant other sections of the Torah that are Torah ordained in their need to be read. Afal Pikein, Tosfos is making what seems to be a tangential point, but he says, nevertheless, b'chol loshon nemra b'sinai, the Torah, when it was given at Mount Sinai, was given in all languages. Shekol dibur v'dibur shayotzi mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word that emanated from the Almighty, hoya mischalik l'shivim lashon, was automatically divided into the 70 languages of the world. So that the concept of the rest of the Torah being stated in other languages is something that was of an initial historical nature. But the focus of our Gemara, and that's what Tosfos is trying to point out, even though historically the rest of the Torah may very well have been in all languages, we are talking about our need as Jewish people, our need to recite other sections of the Torah. And it's under those circumstances that we are talking in our Gemara of it being in other languages. Ad kan mitzvas kavona. So Tosfos says, what does that mean? Up till here is mitzvas kavona. Ad b'chol me'oidecha. Sheshnei psukim elu, the psukim of Shema and the Hoya and the Ohavto as Hashem Elokecha, are to be done in with intent. Now, what is special about those first two psukim? Sheshnei psukim elu medabrim biyichud Hashem, the unification of Hashem, or the unification, meaning the establishing of the Almighty as the one and only, ubahavoso, the love, the ohavto es Hashem Elokecha, and ubiroso, the need to have fear and awe of the Almighty. So those are, that's why these first two psukim are so important, and hence kavona is necessary. The Rashi, we pointed out earlier, he learned an additional pasuk needs to have kavana, which was the including the pasuk of ending with al levavecha, as Rashi himself said, which is the third pasuk, v'hoyu hadvor me'ila shonochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. Continuing with Tosfos on Amud Beis, asher onochi mitzavecha. De'i kideko amris, if as you said. Now we should actually recount what the point here was. There was a machlokas in this Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer indicated just the first couple of psukim need kavona, and Rabbi Akiva says the entire first paragraph needs kavona. And Rabbi Akiva is saying to Rabbi Eliezer, "De'i kideko amris, if it's as you said, havilei lemichtav, it should have said asher tzivisicha, asher onochi tzivisicha. The mitzavcha, the expression that does appear in the word in the Torah, the word mitzavcha, mashma afilu mikan ve'elech. In other words, as the pasuk says." V'hoyu hadvorim ho'ela, these words, asher anochi mitzavcha, that I command you, the word mitzavcha in Rabbi Kiva's eyes include that which appears after the words as well, meaning the rest of the paragraph. Not like you, Rabbi Eliezer, said, that ending with these words until this point, but rather beyond this point also, needs al levavecha, needs intent. Umi kol makom, itzdirich ho'ele, I still need the expression ho'ele, which was a limitation expression, the lav hochi, had I not had the word ho'ele, have amino de'av parsha shnia b'chal. I would have thought that the second paragraph is also included, needing the same standard. And to that far, even I, Rabbi Kiva, does not go. Omar Rava, Tosfos goes on, Omar Rava, Halacha, Kerebi Meir. That means that the first Pasuk alone needs Kavona, needs the reading with intention, Vachi Hilchasa, and thusly we will rule the Kaimalon Kerava, the Havi Basra. Rava is the one that appeared here as ruling like Rebbe Meir, and Basra means he is a later authority, and being that he is a later authority, his ruling carries more legal significance for us as far as halacha lemaisa is concerned. So that even though we saw other opinions, we saw, for example, Rabba Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan ruling like Shitos that said that the entire first paragraph needs kavana, Rava, who is later than Rabba Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he rules like Rebbe Meir, telling us that only the first pasuk requires Kavona. Al levavecha be'amida. At this point, the Gemara had been discussing the issue of needing to be motionless for a certain amount of the Kriya Shema recitation. Birushalmi Meforish, Lav Di Hav Hoya Yoishev Omed. The Gemara here that says Al Lavavecha Bamido is not coming to tell me that had a person been seated, he must stand. That's not the point. Elo Dim Hoya Mahalech Omed. All that the Gemara is trying to say, that if he was in a state of motion, if he was walking, he must become motionless. And what's the significance of this ruling? As Afal Gav the Beis Hillel Amri Kol Adam Kari Kedarko, even though Beis Hillel already ruled that all people can read as they are, even as they are walking along the road. Mikol Mokom Mitzvah and Amuvchor Lamuk Shumahalech. It's nevertheless the choice way of fulfilling the mitzvah by to become motionless, to stand, to become stationary when he had been walking. L'fisheino miyushiv kol kach. He's not so concentrated when he's walking. V'ne yochel l'chaving shumahach. He can't have intention for the mitzvah, or he can't have intention for the words when he's walking kasher oyomed, as if, or as best, or as good as if he were motionless. V'chein halocha de mahalech baderech. So too the halacha is that one who is walking, mitzvah lamud v'posuk rishon, that it's a mitzvah to be motionless for the first posuk. Uboinon kavona v'posuk rishon levad, and you need to have intention for this mitzvah during the first posuk alone. V'chein isa b'tanchuma, Rav Yehuda b'shem Shmuel omar osu l'kabel olav olmach v'shamayim k'shu mahalech elo yamud v'yikra. And you see this ruling as well in the Medrash, that in the name of Shmuel, that it's also to accept upon oneself the Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven, meaning the recitation of Kriya Shema while he is standing, but rather he must be motionless, the Yikra, and read it that way. Say it, pronounce it, read it while standing. And Kabbalah Zohar Malchus Shemayim is associated with the first Pasuk. Ukshiyagiyah Lava'avta, Yelech Kedarko. And when he gets to the second Pasuk, he can continue on his way. Shoyel Mipnei Hayira V'chulei. We saw a Machlokes Tanoim about interruptions in the Kriya Shema and the issue of initiating and responding. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where we saw Rabbi Yehuda being more lenient or more flexible in his approach. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. There is a rule that when you have a machlokes between these two tanoim, we will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar, who says afilu be'emsa, that if you're in the middle of a paragraph, meshiv mipnei hakovod, so that even if you're in the middle of a paragraph, you have the right to respond if the initiator was someone of honor. Him came nire, from this it would appear, Shemutur lanois kadesh ukdusha be'emsa kriyashma, that one would be allowed to respond to the kadesh and the kedusha that is recited in shul. Namely, you have a situation where you're in the middle of kriyashma, but the tzibor is hearing the kadesh, or they're already repeating the Shmon Esrei, and they've reached the kedusha section, that you can answer those passages be'emsa Kriya Shema, even though you're in the middle of the Kriya Shema. De'ein lochem b'nei hakovod gadol mizeh. There is no greater example of a response because of the due honor. Here we're talking about the honor of the Almighty. Avo be'emsa shmoine esrei osur. But to respond to Kaddish and Kaddush in the middle of one shmoine esrei, that would not be allowed. De'mashma, the mashma lekamon beperek ein oinden. It appears where it is implied there in the fifth perek. The bein geula letfila ein lanos. There it speaks about an interruption between the end of the Kriya Shema, the Goal Yisrael, and the beginning of Shmon Esrei. One should not answer Kaddish Kedusha, but kol shekein betfila atzma, and certainly not in the middle of the Shmon Esrei itself. Umi shemispalo levado. Someone who is davening on his own, let's say someone finds himself in the middle of Shmon Esrei while the Tzibor is already listening to the Chazoras Hashatz, and the Shliach Tzibor gets to the Moidim section, where everyone bows and recites the Moedim de Rabbanon, what should you do? Yishche, bow the Moedim, avalo yoimar Moedim. Do a bowing action, but don't recite it after you're in the middle of your personal Shmon Esrei. V'davke she'be'emtza habrocha. This rule of your bowing is if you're in the middle of a brachas of Shmon Esrei, one of the middle brachas of Shmon Esrei. Avol b'soif habrocha loy. Let's say you're at the end of a bracha. Let's say you said Baruch Ata Hashem Melech Oyhev Tzedoko Mishpat. So you're at the brach. You're at the end of that. You're at Baruch Ata Hashem. That's called Sof HaBracha, which began Hashiva Shoiftenu Kevori Shana. Now you're at the end of the bracha. There you should not bow, even though the Shliach Tzibor is reciting Moedim, and the rest of the people are also bowing. Why should you not bow B'Sof HaBracha? Why not? The Nira Kekoreya B'Shvil HaBracha. It looks like your bowing is a bowing because you've reached the end of a bracha. V'aminon di'ein l'chroa b'chol ha'bracha so l'boisen shetiknu chachomim. There's a rule stated in the Gemara that there should be no bowing for the other brachas other than those that were established by the chachomim, and that does not include any of the middle brachas of the Shmon Esrei. V'rabbeinu tam hoya rogil sheyamantin b'oisefele kidei lanois kadesh u'kedusha im hatzibor. Let's say, in the case of Rabbeinu Tam, if he found himself in a situation where he was, we'll call it, a bit behind, and the Tzibor was saying, was going to hear the Kaddish recited or the Kedusha, he would pause at the point in the Kriya Shema, the Birchas Kriya Shema, where we say, so he would get to Oisei Fele, and everything, of course, it was timed. He realized that he wouldn't be able to finish what he needed to daven before the Tzibur would get to Kaddish or Kedusha. So he would pause at Oisei Fele, Kedei Ligmor Es HaKoil, Kedei Lanois Kaddish Ukedusha Imat Tzibur. So by pausing there, he would at that point still be able to answer Kaddish Kedusha. And as we said before, this would be an example of Be'emtza HaPerek, and that's a good place to pause in order to answer the Kaddish Kedusha, which we said that's called Meshiv Mibnei HaKovet, and that's allowed even Be'emtza HaPerek. Kedei Lanos Kaddish Kedusha Im HaTzibor V'hoyo Sover Afilu Shoh Kedei Ligmor Es HaKoil Eino Chozer LaRosh. Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that if he would, let us say, he had to pause here at Oisei Fele, and his pause would be a very long pause, enough time to have said the entire Kriya Shema up till this point. But he paused there waiting for the Tzibur to get to either Kaddish or Kedusha. That's okay. That long pause would not constitute an interruption. And that's what's meant by afilu shok kidei ligmor sakol. That's eino chazurosh. It's not considered a hefsik that would force you to go back and say everything all over again. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.